The scriptures teach us that an important part of mortal probation will be making the right choices. How do we make the right choices when there are so many temptations and so many people telling us what they think we ought to do with our lives? There are three important elements that allow us to make good decisions. First, we must have an eternal plan with an objective that we are committed to achieve. Second, we need to study and pray on a daily basis about our decisions for feelings of spiritual guidance, courage, and commitment. And third, we need to examine our motives each time we make a decision. We need an eternal plan. Life's plan and the challenge to be successful is demonstrated in an Aesop fable called The Man, the Boy, and the Donkey. The objective of the man and the boy was to journey to the city marketplace and sell the donkey for winter provisions. As they started to town, father rode the donkey. In the first village, the villagers said, "What an inconsiderate man riding the donkey and making his son walk." So the father got off the donkey and let his son ride. In the next hamlet, the people whispered, "What an inconsiderate boy riding the donkey and making his father walk." In frustration, the father climbed on the donkey, and father and son rode the donkey only to have the people in the next town declare, "How inconsiderate of a man and a boy riding that donkey and overloading their beast of burden, treating him in such an inhumane manner." In compliance with the dissident voices and mocking fingers, the father and son both got off the donkey to relieve the animal's burden, only to have the next people say, "Can you imagine a man and a boy being so dumb as to not even use their beast of burden for what it was created?" Then, in anger and total desperation, having tried to please all those who offered advice, the father and son both rode the donkey until it collapsed. The donkey had to be carried to the marketplace. The donkey could not be sold. People in the marketplace scoffed, "Who wants a worthless donkey that can't even walk into the city?" The father and boy had failed in their goal of selling the donkey and had no money to buy their winter provisions needed in order to survive. How much different the outcome would have been if father and son had had a plan to follow. Father could have said, "I'll ride the donkey a third of the way. Son, you ride the donkey a third of the way, and we'll both walk the last third of the way. The donkey will arrive in the marketplace, fresh and strong, ready to be sold." Then, as they received confusing advice while traveling through each hamlet and village along their way to the city, they could look at each other, give a reassuring wink of the eye, and say, "We have a plan." Indeed, you and I do have a plan to guide us in our lives. The eternal plan that was given to us in mortality and will bring us back into the presence of our Heavenly Father. During our mortal probation on earth, we will be tested with enticements and opposition in all things. But if we are obedient and faithful to the laws, ordinances, and covenants which we accept with our own free agency, of our own free will and choice, we can attain eternal life. To attain eternal life is why we came to earth. Eternal life is our goal. The definition of eternal life is to be able to live in the presence of our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ with our families for all eternity. Every time we make choices in our lives, we should weigh the ultimate effect our decision will have on the goal of attaining eternal life. And that is why we must study and pray. Having the eternal plan as a goal in our lives, we will make eternal choices. However, we will not make the right eternal choices based solely on our own pure intellectual deduction and factual analysis from our own understanding. Prayer and study must be used together to build knowledge and wisdom. First, we start with intelligence, of which we were endowed when we were born. To our intelligence, we add knowledge as we search for answers, study, and educate ourselves. To our knowledge, we add experience, which should lead us to a level of wisdom. In addition to our wisdom, we seek the Holy Ghost through our prayers of faith, asking for spiritual guidance and strength. Then and only then do we reach what Solomon told us was the understanding in our hearts, which motivates us to do what is right let the consequence follow. The feelings of an understanding heart give us the sweet spirit of assurance, not out of knowing, but doing what is right. It is not enough just to know. We must do. The understanding in our hearts come from a close interdependence of study and prayer. Behold, ye have not understood. Ye have supposed that I would give it unto you, when you took no thought save it was to ask me. But behold, I say unto you, that you must study it out in your mind, that you must ask me if it be right. And if it be right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore, you shall feel that it is right. Oh, that we might have those feelings. After we've attained knowledge and understanding, it is important to feel that our decision is right. Then when we act, we will do what is right. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understandings in your heart. Last Saturday, I had the experience of visiting Joe and Linda in their house in Boise, Idaho. They gave me permission to share this story with you in the hope that it might help someone who had to make a similar decision in their life. About 3 to 4 years ago, Joe was an alcoholic. Linda had left him, taking the children, leaving behind a 14-year-old boy who had a testimony. Linda, while she did not drink, was codependent emotionally behavior of an alcoholic husband. She was nearing a nervous breakdown. She had made the decision to save herself and the children from the manipulative behavior of a husband suffering from alcoholism. So she left home. Joe related to me the depression and despair he felt the night Linda left him. Somewhere in the middle of the night, about 2 to 3 in the morning, Joe awoke. He reached out in a prayer to his Heavenly Father and prayed until dawn. It was his Gethsemane. He cried out to the Lord and asked for help. With his affliction and expressed love for his caring wife who had confronted him with his abusive behavior. When Joe arose early in the morning light, he made a commitment and decision not to take another drink of alcohol. Joe had lived up to that commitment and has done so for the past 4 years. His testimony as he talks with others in Alcoholics Anonymous is that God lives and answers prayers. A similar story, but about a little boy named Josh, who was having trouble with nightmares that were frightening him. He asked his father if he would kneel down and have prayer with him to ask Heavenly Father to stop the dreams and nightmares. Josh opened his prayer by thanking Heavenly Father for the blessings that were his. He then asked his Heavenly Father to have the nightmares stop, that he might have a confirmation of the feelings during the prayer. He said no more. He waited about a minute, said thank you, and closed the prayer. He had had his confirmation and comfort that his prayers would be answered, that he would not have any more nightmares. What an important lesson for a young man to learn. Members of the Council of the Twelve and the First Quorum of 70 feel a similar experience as Josh and as Joe have had each time a stake president is chosen. What an important lesson to learn about prayer and the feelings of reassurance that come when we ask in faith with nothing wavering, as the prophet Joseph. Along with study and prayer, we must seek wise counsel. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. When seeking wise counsels, turn to those who have exhibited obedience to the commandments and willingness to follow the promptings of the Spirit in their lives. You will know when you have a true friend and counselor, when the advice you are given makes life easier to live the commandments, and when you are not asked to choose between a wayward friend's ways and the Lord's ways. Even though we counsel with others, we must take the responsibility for our actions. Some try to go through life without making their own decisions and blaming others when all does not go as well as expected. As we study our problems out in our minds, patience and pondering should be an important place in our decision-making process. We should reflect on our eternal goals and not make hasty and unwise decisions. President Joseph F. Smith gave these sobering words of advice to leaders and members of the church to help them with their decision-making. It is a statement I have displayed in my office since becoming presiding bishop. Quote, "In leaders, undue impatience and a gloomy mind are almost unpardonable, and it sometimes takes almost as much courage to wait as to act. It is to be hoped, then, that the leaders of God's people and the people themselves will not feel that they must have at once a solution of every question that arises to disturb the even tenor of their ways." End of quote. And lastly, we must examine our motives. A good check and balance in decision-making is to look at our motive for making our decisions. We should ask ourselves, are my motives selfish, or is there charity in the decision I'm about to make? Is this decision in keeping with the commandments, both in the spirit and the letter of the law? Is my decision basically right, honorable, and compatible with the golden rule? Have I considered the impact of my decision on others? Let your decisions be done with charities, the scriptures tell us. Beware of fear and greed. Be aware of your true motives. We make poor and irrational decisions if our decision is motivated by greediness, greed for monetary gain, greed that results in the conflict of interest, desire for power and titles and recognition of men. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Likewise, we make poor and irrational decisions if our decision is motivated by fear, fear of man, fear of not being popular, fear of failure, fear of public opinion. As Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." The poet Robert Frost, in the poem The Road Not Taken, gives us a vivid visual image of standing at the crossroads of life, having to make a decision. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference. When we stand at the crossroads of life and make decisions, whether to go to the great and spacious building of the world's ways or the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, we cannot travel both roads, although sometimes we try. It is difficult to come back, but we can. And our greatest satisfaction will more than likely come from taking the lonely road, which is less traveled by. May the Lord bless us to make our decisions in life constantly and keep our goal on eternal life. Keep it in view, that we may study in prayer each day to know and to understand what is right, but more importantly, to do what is right, that we may have those who stand by us. Thee lift me, and I'll lift thee, and we'll ascend together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.